If you're a parent of teenagers or even younger children, you'll know vapes are everywhere. For years, schools, addiction experts and anti-smoking advocates have been sounding the alarm about how easy it is for kids to source the highly addictive e-cigarettes. The Health Minister, Mark Butler, will today announce that the Therapeutic Goods Administration will begin a public consultation on nicotine vaping products. Dr. Becky Freeman is an Associate Professor of Public Health with the University of Sydney, leading the Generation Vape Project. It's a national research effort that's polled hundreds of young people on their experiences of vaping. And Dr. Becky Freeman joins us on RN Breakfast. Good morning.
Good morning.
We've heard stories here on RN Breakfast about even primary school kids buying vapes, and every parent would know how schools are struggling to control it. I mean, that's what I hear overwhelmingly from teachers. Why is it so easy for children to get their hands on vapes?
Yeah, and, you know, those stories that you're hearing have been borne out in our research data as well. Absolutely, access is incredibly easy. The young people we surveyed, you know, nearly universally agreed that getting their hands on a vape was very easy. They are a quarter of our sample are simply just rocking right up to a retailer and purchasing it in broad daylight. Other children are sourcing it through social supply, either at school or through friends or to Snapchatting an acquaintance. And the reason why it's just so easy to get their hands on these products is because there's just blatant law breaking happening in broad daylight and we're not doing enough about it.
So people need a prescription to buy vapes containing nicotine, but what do we know about what's in other vapes that people are able to freely buy?
Yeah, so we have a very interesting way of regulating vaping products in Australia. If you are an adult smoker who's tried everything you can to quit and just can't seem to find, you know, the right thing that's going to work for you, it might be that a nicotine-containing vape is the right thing for you, but you need to source that with the help of a health professional and use it under their guidance and have a prescription for that product. Non-nicotine vapes, however, are essentially not subject to any regulation at all. I could go out right now and within a radius of, you know, 500 meters of my house, I can find multiple retailers that are selling supposedly non-nicotine vapes. But when these vapes are tested, they very often contain nicotine. They're mislabeled. They don't tell people what's in them. And so young people know, over half the young people in our survey knew they were knew they were vaping nicotine-containing products. Another third weren't sure. And so young people are either being misled or they're deliberately seeping out this nicotine product as well because they're addicted to it. Nicotine is a highly addictive substance.
Mark Butler, who's the Health Minister, is going to announce today that the TGA will lead a public consultation process on nicotine vaping products. Firstly, do you welcome that? Mm-hmm. And what needs to come from that process for it to be effective?
Look, we need to act with incredible urgency on youth vaping. I honestly cannot believe just how quickly youth vaping has skyrocketed in Australia for a country that's had such tremendous success in reducing smoking rates. You know, young people really don't socially approve of smoking. Smoking rates are very low. But vaping seems to have just pulled the rug out from that and become completely the social norm very quickly. And we need the government to also act with that same urgency, and not just the national government, but state governments as well. We need to ban the import of all nicotine products unless they are destined for a pharmacy or for someone who has a valid prescription for that product. And then the states need to tackle the sale of non-nicotine vapes. That's completely undermining this prescription system. If the states were to remove non-nicotine vapes from retail, if the federal government was to ban the imports, and then both federal and state were to crack down on the blatant marketing of these products on social media, we would see, I think, immediate improvements in young people's ability to access these products.
It will require a multi-jurisdictional approach then, right?
Absolutely. I don't think this is something that the federal government can tackle on their own or nor the state government. But I would hate to see that become an excuse to say, well, unless the feds do this or the states does this and nobody does anything. I would like to see all levels of government throw everything they have at this problem. The idea that we would have a whole new generation of young people addicted to nicotine and it was entirely avoidable if we just acted decisively and quickly. You shake your head thinking, why wouldn't they do this?
Yeah, it does astonish me that we've come to this point. How do you think this approach needs to differ to what governments did regarding smoking?
Look, I'll be the first to say we've done really well in reducing smoking rates. It's astonishing what we've achieved over the past 30 years. You know, Australia's sitting at, you know, just hovering over 10% of people smoking on a daily basis compared to 30 years ago when it was nearly a third of the population. But we've done that in a really slow and incremental process by, you know, taxing cigarettes, making them really expensive, getting rid of advertising, putting health warnings, getting them out of sight. So, you know, these little changes constantly to try and reduce the appeal of the product. We have an opportunity to do this a lot more efficiently and quickly with vaping products and not go through that 30 years delay. Let's just get them out of the hands of young people, prevent them from being able to get these products at all, and actually fully implement what I think is a fantastic regulatory system of only allowing adult smokers who need these products to help them quit smoking to access them through a prescription. If that policy was being enacted with integrity, we wouldn't have the vaping epidemic that we have among young people today.
I've got a text message from somebody who says, yes, it's addictive, but there's no proof that the amount used in vapes or other products is dangerous. What's your response to that?
I just almost laughed there, actually. Nicotine is highly addictive. Why on earth would people vape if they weren't vaping for the nicotine? That's what it's doing. And even in our, we did focus groups with the young people as well, not just these quantitative surveys. And young people said to us that when they used a vape, it was that initial head rush that they're looking for from the nicotine. Because if you're not used to nicotine, if you're only using it for the first few times, it has quite a dramatic effect. But then, of course, you get addicted to that and you start to experience withdrawal, like irritability and mood swings. You feel that you need to vape when you wake up first thing in the morning. And this is what these companies want. They want lifelong customers who are addicted to nicotine.
Just finally, how big a part does advertising on social media play here? And how can the government tackle that part of the marketing situation?
Absolutely. Marketing promotion, we know, is one of the key drivers of youth vaping. The products themselves are actually, I think, an advertisement in and of themselves. They're discreet, they're brightly colored, they have lots of flavors. So those same messages are played up on social media. You can see campaigns on Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat of these products that are, you know, part of a youth lifestyle. We have been hugely successful, again, in tobacco control and clamping down on marketing in mainstream media. Things like, you know, you don't see billboards for cigarettes anymore. But we've kind of dropped the ball on social media and online media. There hasn't been any improvements to the Tobacco Advertising Promotion Act in Australia for decades. And we need to address that and the marketing of vaping products on social media as well. It's a, you know, the 10-year anniversary of plain packaging is today. It's a great opportunity to say we're going to move more aggressively on the marketing of both tobacco and vaping products as well.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Dr. Becky Freeman is an Associate Professor of Public Health with the University of Sydney, and she leads that Generation Vape Project. It's a national research effort, and it's actually polled hundreds of young people on their experiences of vaping.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.
Hi, podcasters. Just jumping back in with a special call out for the health report. Dr. Norman Swan, who, of course, you know from RN Brekkie and, well, everywhere, hosts the health report with Tegan Taylor. And it's really worth hearing if you want to stay up to date with the latest in health and medical news. Search for it on the ABC Listen app.